This next reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 to 6. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Well, please have your Bibles open at Isaiah chapter 53. This morning, as we gather together for worship, as I look out there, I suspect that most people have got to the church by driving in a car. I know some people are close enough to walk, but I think most of us have come in a car. Maybe even some of us who are close enough to walk have had to come in a car. Cars are wonderful things. They keep us dry, they keep us warm, allow us to travel in comfort. They're so familiar, aren't they, that we just take them for granted. But have you ever spent any time thinking about the amount of work that goes into designing a car? Quite a few years ago, I knew someone who was an engineer, and he worked for a car manufacturer, and he was in a design group, and I was chatting to him, and he wasn't able to tell me what he was doing at the moment, because it was all top secret. But he was able to tell me about a project that he completed a little bit earlier. And this man, he spent 2 years designing a door handle on a car. It's more than a door handle. There's the whole locking mechanism inside the door and all that sort of thing. But 2 years he worked just designing the door handle on your car. Do you ever think about the door handle on your car? Only if it gets frozen solid, like it does sometimes up here. But most of the time, we just take them for granted. We only notice them when there's some sort of problem. But 2 years of focused effort on something as insignificant as a door handle, it tells me it's obviously a lot more complicated than I think. And it's clear that a lot of work has been put into it. We often do not appreciate the vast amount of work that goes into things that appear quite simple and familiar to us. And this is true in all sorts of areas of life, and it's also true in spiritual matters. And the one we're thinking about this morning is, of course, our salvation. Have you ever thought about how complicated our salvation is? God created the world in 6 days. He spoke the world into existence. He breathed life into us. But then when it all goes wrong, he waits thousands of years for the Lord Jesus to be born. Thousands of years for the Saviour to be born. And then when he is born, he doesn't just click his fingers and it's sorted out. He lives for 33 years amongst us. And then he dies in agony on a cross. If God can create with just a word, and then he has to do that to save, then clearly our salvation is a lot more complicated than we think. And I think we all fall into this trap. It may be that we've been Christians for a long time, and we think we know everything there is to know about salvation, so yeah, we just take it for granted. And we don't realize that as we look at the pages of Scripture, we see that everything before the Gospels is building up to the arrival of Jesus. We see that promise given in Genesis 3. And as we go through Scripture, we see that promise being worked out until the Lord Jesus finally arrives. Well, of course, for people here this morning who don't trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour, they may not really think about this at all. They may just take the gospel as just another message, one among many for them to hear. But when we think about salvation, we realise it is incredibly complicated. And the readings that we've had so far through the service, they just join some of the dots. And that really is just a few of the dots. We could have gone into a lot more detail and seen how the covenants and the promises all feed through to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been at work since the fall of man to repair the damage we have done to ourselves. And just like that moment when the engineers unveil a new car, when they draw the sheet off it at one of these motor fairs, a lot of work has gone into that car, a lot of work has gone into our salvation. But most people, they miss it. This morning we were listening to Radio 4 and they were running articles about how non-Christian people celebrate Christmas. That really is missing the point altogether. People have lost the true meaning of Christmas. They don't really understand why Jesus was born. And even if they know it's about Jesus' birth, they miss the importance of his arrival. It may be that they know something about the shepherds. It may be that they know something about the wise men. But when we think about this Christmas story, if the Lord had not sent the angels, if the Lord had not sent the star, then the shepherds and the wise men, they would have missed Jesus' birth. And this leads us to a truth which may be a little bit uncomfortable for us, but it's laid out clearly in Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 3. And it's true for all people, everyone here this morning, everyone in the society around us. Left to our own devices, none of us would recognize our Saviour. On the surface, the Lord just looked like everybody else. He was not one of those people who were handpicked for leadership from an early age. He was not someone who stood head and shoulders above everybody else. He was just one of the crowd. On the surface, he just looked like a typical bloke. He was exactly like everyone else. And we may think, oh, how could people not recognize him? But there's a reason that he was exactly like everybody else. And it's good that he was exactly like everybody else on the surface, because he was sent to be our substitute. If you're a football manager, and you come to that moment when it's time to substitute someone, and you decide to take your striker off, you don't put the goalkeeper into that position, do you? That's a recipe for disaster. And you don't put your striker into goal, do you? On a football pitch, everyone's got a specific job to do. And when you substitute like for like. And this is why Jesus had to be just like us. Just an ordinary person. Because he was sent as our substitute. Which means that he had to be just like us. Therefore, on the surface, he was just ordinary. However, we all know that how things appear on the surface is only skin deep. The people around Jesus may have just seen a man. In fact, when Jesus went to Nazareth, the people were amazed at his teaching and they rejected him. But God saw something different. God saw his son. He grew up like a tender shoot out of dry ground. And this is a reference to one of the promises that God makes about how the promised one, the Messiah, is going to come from the line of David, the line of King David. A line that at that point in history had pretty much dried up and there was no life in it. But the Lord Jesus was born into that line. And he was born into the line of David. And it just looked like he was living an ordinary life. All around him, Jesus, people were living ordinary lives. But he was growing and developing in the way that God wants it. And it's only God who opens people's eyes to see him for who he really is. That's why the angels brought the shepherds. It's why the star brought the wise man. It's why the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to go to the temple. God reveals Jesus' true identity. And the same is true today. Most of us can remember a time when we held Christ in low esteem. Before we were Christians ourselves. Before the Lord opened our eyes. Back then, maybe we thought that Christianity was a nice tradition, something to do at Christmas and maybe Easter as well. Maybe we called ourselves Christians, but we had no desire to go to church. Maybe we were people who never thought about God at all. But then, suddenly, something happened. Our eyes were opened and we knew that before God we were guilty and in a lot of trouble. Suddenly we understood that it was possible to be forgiven. And we recognized just what Jesus had done for us. We suddenly realized that the baby born and laid in a manger was going to go and die on another piece of wood, on a cross. And suddenly we realized he did this because of the things that I had done wrong. Because of the things that we had done wrong. And we're not just talking about big things here. We're talking about little things. That white lie that maybe you thought was harmless. Not being entirely honest about something else. Being self-centered. Living your life as if it's all about you and no one else matters. Not thanking God for the good things that he has given us. Like being alive and so on. Our eyes were open to the things that we'd done wrong. Have you ever been in that situation when you suddenly realize that someone that you don't think much of has actually been very generous towards you? For a lot of people, this happens in their mid-20s, when they suddenly realize how much their parents have sacrificed to get them to where they are today. And it's like that with Jesus as well. Before, when we thought about Jesus, maybe we thought he had made some sort of mistake, some sort of accident, and he ended up going to the cross, and we didn't really understand it at all. But then our eyes are opened, and we see how the things that he did apply to each one of us at a deep and personal level. It shouldn't be a surprise for those of us who come along to church, because the whole Bible has been building up to this point. When we look at Scripture, we can see the history of the world quite clearly there. We read how it all went wrong when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. And since then, no one is righteous. No one lives up to God's standards. But God has been working in his wisdom and in his timing to gather a people back to himself. He'd been teaching people about it for years through the prophets, through the sacrifices that the Jews were making year after year in the temple. God remembered his promise that one day a child would be born that would crush the serpent's head. That child would be our savior. And for that child to represent us, he had to be just like us, but at the same time different. He had to be perfect and he had to be holy. Only someone who was like us, but also perfect, was able to be the substitute to take the punishment for sinners. And he was really and truly punished so that we could be set free and healed. We deserve the wounds that he received, but he took them so that we could be healed. He was hung on a tree. He was cursed by God so that we could receive peace. At Christmas, we often think about peace on earth. And our understanding of this peace on earth is sort of an end to all wars when everyone gets on with each other. That's only a small part of the peace that Jesus will bring. Because the peace that Christ brings is much more profound. All of the wars of this world go back to humans being self-centered and greedy. And humans being self-centered and greedy has only happened because mankind has rejected God and fallen. These things come about because of sin. Mm-hmm. Sin destroys relationships between man and man and between God and man. Jesus' death on the cross restores relationships. He makes it possible for man to have a restored relationship back to with God. And eventually, when he returns, man will have a restored relationship with the other people around him as well. The peace that Christ brings is a peace that lasts for all eternity. And it's the wholeness of restored relationships, of things being back to the way that they should be. We all look at the world and we know that the world is broken. The peace that Jesus brings is the only thing that will heal that wound. Today, this world is divided into those people who have understood who Jesus is and have received this peace from God, and those people who, on the other hand, who have rejected God. This morning, if you are someone who has still not recognized who Jesus is, if you are someone who does not see the need to know God better by reading his word, by coming along to church to worship, then you do not really understand who Jesus is. You may know a little bit about him, but you haven't joined the dots together. Hopefully you're interested in finding out a bit more about him, but you still have a little way to go. If that's you, then this morning, in the few moments when we break bread together, just let the bread and the wine go by. It's best for you to just spend this time thinking about what Jesus has done. It doesn't help anyone for you to pretend that you are a Christian. You may be able to fool those people around you, but God is the one who sees the heart and knows all things. To take the bread and the wine when you're not entitled to it is presumptuous and shows a profound lack of respect for the Lord. It's far worse than trying to get into a concert without a ticket. If that's you, then just spend a few moments thinking about what you know about Jesus, thinking about the state of the world, thinking about the state of your own life, and think about what he's done. Do you understand why he had to be born of a virgin so that he could die as a substitute for you? Do you want to trust him for forgiveness and freedom and help today and hope for tomorrow? Then think about these things. For the rest of us, let us reflect on the way that the Lord has opened our eyes to see Jesus for who he really is. Let us marvel at the amount of work that God has poured into our salvation. Thousands of years of history and a whole life lived so that we could be saved. The work that the Lord has poured into our salvation is immense. And when we remember just who he is as well and how powerful he is, if he had to go to such great lengths of dying on a cross for us, and surely our sin is an enormous problem. And surely the love that he feels for us is far greater than we can possibly imagine. So let's give thanks that he was pierced for our transgressions, that our iniquity was laid upon him, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could become Christians and have peace with God. Amen.